It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Clay Masters. We're continuing our series of conversations with Democratic presidential candidates ahead of Iowa's first-in-the-nation caucuses, which will be held February 3rd. Today, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. My co-host of the IPR podcast Caucus Land, Kate Payne, and I spoke with Buttigieg moments after he wrapped up a town hall in West Des Moines over the weekend. Buttigieg finds himself polling in Iowa in the top tier, alongside U.S. senators and a former vice president. The soon-to-be former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is a Rhodes Scholar and a military veteran, among other things. We asked him about that resume and whether or not he's been plotting a presidential run his entire life.
If I was the kind of guy who plotted everything out, then as a young Democrat, I probably would have set up shop somewhere other than the state of Indiana. Sometimes you just got to take a step that you believe in. It's what led me to take that first run for state treasurer when the odds were almost impossible. It's what led me to decide to serve my community. And it's what led me, in a way that would have surprised the hell out of me, looking into the future from just a few years ago, to decide to do this now. Because what I think America needs right now is a different kind of voice, a different kind of approach, a different kind of style, but a certain kind of experience, including that of guiding a city through a transformation, and, for what it's worth, that of having been sent to war on the orders of a U.S. president, which I think helps shape anybody's understanding who would run for that office of what's at stake in the decisions they make in that building.
You bring up your military experience. The Washington Post recently came out with a collection of documents that demonstrated that the U.S. military officials and elected leaders misled the public about the war in Afghanistan for almost 20 years. You served in that war. There were comments made that this was unwinnable, questioning if thousands of people had died in vain. What's going wrong, and what would you change as president?
Well, it's clear that we've been operating for a long time without a clear sense of what the mission is. And this is not only a problem of executive leadership or a problem that you can lay at the feet of the military. I think a lot of it's that Congress has not provided a lot of direction. Look, we're operating over there based on an authorization that was passed about 18 years ago to deal with 9/11. There are people packing their bags for Afghanistan who weren't born on 9/11. It's why I agree that we need to repeal and replace the authorization for the use of military force. And we need to act to make sure that any military engagement in the future has a very clear, defined mission. Our military objective in Afghanistan is to keep the American people physically safe. We have other objectives, political objectives, that are very important, including preserving the gains that have been made in the status of women and contributing to Afghanistan's future stability. But we got to make sure we have a very clear definition of what will call for the use of troops. And I believe a much higher bar, whether it's there or anywhere around the world, for when we would engage.
Is it unwinnable?
Well, I think we have to decide what winning even means at this point. I believe it's absolutely possible, with a very limited presence, to make sure it's no longer used as an attack, as the base for an attack on the U.S. homeland. Other objectives are going to take a longer time. Look, it's not going to be a functioning Western-style democracy anytime soon. That can't be our definition of success.
A longer time, you say. This has been nearly two decades, and you've mentioned the young people who are heading into this war who were not alive during 2001. I mean, President Obama has tried to leave this war, President Trump as well. Would you guarantee to bring troops out of Afghanistan in your first term?
Well, I'm going to make the choices that are responsible to keep the American people safe based on what's going on. But I would have said in the past that our goal should be to exit as quickly as possible. I believe it's feasible to draw our ground troops out, at least the large numbers of ground troops we see, within a year. I also think that we're going to see some kind of specialized intelligence and special operations presence for perhaps quite a while. We had that in Syria. Ironically, it was there in Syria helping keep the peace until the president abruptly withdrew it. That is a big part of what the medium run is going to have to look like in Afghanistan.
Also, this election, this Democratic primary, a lot of oxygen being taken up about healthcare. It's on the minds of a lot of the likely caucus goers that we talk to every time we go to one of these events. Under a Medicare for All Who Want It system, I mean, that's a profit-driven industry. How do you force an industry like that to make less profit on the back of Americans and keep healthcare costs down.
Well, this is the beauty of what public interventions can do. In areas from medicine to telecommunications, we've seen that a public alternative forces private players to do one of two things: do a better job or go out of business. I actually don't care which outcome it is. If they do a better job, then more people will get affordable health care. If they go out of business, then we're in Medicare for all territory. The important thing is to make sure that everybody has that quality health care available to them. In other words, by creating this public plan, I believe we will create the kind of pressures that are needed to force those private players to either deliver more affordable, less bureaucratic, more patient-oriented coverage than most of them have been able to do, or they are going to gradually go out of business because Americans will vote with their feet and use that choice to walk away from plans that are letting them down.
Turning back to your experience, Mr. Mayor, you mentioned before the statewide race that you did not win in Indiana. Opponents of yours have pointed this out, that you do not have experience at the state level, at the federal level, with your most recent mayor's race. I believe it was you won that office by about 8,000 votes total. The most votes you won in your previous mayor's race was about 10,000 votes. So why is that fact that you have never won more than some 10,000 votes? Why is that not a critical mistake, a critical failing in...
A critical mistake or failing? Look, I mean, right
experience.
Now we have a president of the United States who never won an election in his life before he took office.
Mr. Mayor, is that the metric for this office?
And here's something else. You know, it's interesting to have somebody say it's an argument against your running that you lost an election in your 20s. That's an experience that I think most modern presidents have. I would say I learned as much, maybe more, from the times that I haven't won as I have from the times that I did. Makes me a better candidate. I think it would make me a better president. Look, I get that I don't have the kind of Washington establishment experience that some people think is the qualification for the presidency. I would also say that the fact that the current president was ever even able to be within cheating distance of the presidency reveals the general disgust the American people have with business as usual in Washington. And I count it as a great strength that I've gathered my experience elsewhere.
That's Democratic presidential candidate and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg speaking with IPR's Kate Payne and me. You can hear more of this conversation in an upcoming episode of the IPR podcast Kate and I host called Caucus Land, which you can find wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or you can listen to it at our website, iowapublicradio.org. I'm Clay Masters. You're listening to Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio.